Thanks, guys. So we are in a sermon series called Come and See Jesus in the Gospel of John, where we are walking through each successive passage in the Gospel of John, and we're asking two questions. What does this passage tell us about who Jesus is? And what does that mean for us today? And today we get to John chapter 6, verses 25 through 40. So let me encourage you to turn now in your Bibles, your Pew Bibles, your Bible apps, to this wonderful passage. And let me encourage you to keep your Bibles open, not just as I read it, but also as I preach it. It's going to be helpful to have in front of you. As you're turning there, let me walk back something I said last week. I said that John 6, I think 20, was the first ego and me, first I am statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John. That was wrong. The first statement is actually back in John 4. That was the second one, was what we had last week. But I last week correctly predicted that today we would get to the first of Jesus' I am statements with a predicate. There are seven of them in the Gospel of John. And the first of them we're going to encounter in today's text is Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And in saying the words I am, as I said last week, he's saying he's God. And when he adds the predicate, the bread of life, he's saying something very significant about who he is as God. And that's what I want to unpack today. Who is Jesus as God, as the bread of life? And what does that mean for us today? But let me pray now before we read or preach. Father, thank you for sending Jesus the bread of life. And thank you for working for us to have faith in him as the bread of life. Work now through this reading and preaching of your word that we might have faith. Lord, this is a dense passage, so give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and then give us also minds to comprehend and hearts to receive. Jesus as the bread of life. Do this and more, for we ask it in his name. Amen. John chapter 6, verses 25 through 40. Listen for God's holy word to you. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. This is the word of the Lord. So a number of years ago, I read a book that I would give mixed reviews, but the title was really catchy, and I think it applies to our text today. The title was Adventures in Missing the Point. I think this whole text is an adventure of the crowd missing the point and Jesus continually trying to get them back on point. Let me walk you through this. The first adventure in missing the point is the first question that the crowd asks. Jesus, when did you get here? Jesus had gotten there early that morning. Jesus had fed what we call 5,000, but it was probably more like 15,000 because they only counted the men the day before. And they had tried to make him king by force, but Jesus had slipped away to be alone with his Father, and his disciples had started rowing across the lake, and Jesus in the middle of the night walks out to them, has a rather memorable encounter with them on the lake, and then instantaneously transports the whole boatload of disciples to Capernaum, so they had arrived early the next morning. Early that morning. The crowd, when they wake up on the other side of the lake, eventually figures out that Jesus had given them the slip and goes looking for him in Capernaum. And they find him. And their first question is, when did you get here? They wouldn't have believed the answer. And that really wasn't what they were interested in anyway. What they were interested in is what Jesus calls them out is saying that you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You don't care about when I got here. You care about seeing if you can get another free lunch. And pay attention here because Jesus uses a very particular word. He uses the word signs. Do you ever notice that sometimes miracles are called signs? Miracles are called signs because miracles are not the point. They're a sign pointing to the point. Jesus had fed all of them the day before to point to himself and to a kingdom where people will never thirst or hunger. The point had not been a free lunch all along, but they are stuck on that. And so Jesus tells them, you know, hey, don't work for food, for bread that perishes. Work for food that endures. I need to say this because I think this is really important. Miracles are never the point. We sometimes pray desperately for miracles, and God sometimes gives us a miracle, and why does God do that miracle? Well, to point to Himself and to point to His kingdom. It's not to point to the individual who receives it. It's not to point to just, oh, this is cool, we can see this, look at what God did. No, he does it to point to this, to point to himself, to point to his kingdom. And Jesus is all about his kingdom, right? This is a consistent teaching throughout Scripture. Jesus does this all the time. He does it in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, hey, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and theft happen. No, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Don't work for this thing that's going to pass away. Don't focus on them. Work. Look toward what is to come. Jesus says the same thing in Mark chapter 8. He says, what does it profit a man that he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Jesus says repeatedly, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't focus on this here and now. Focus on what's beyond. That's what I want you to do. I want you to look beyond this. And the crowd seemingly begins to understand this because they say, all right, what work must we do to do the works God requires? What must we do to do the work that God requires? It seems like the right question, right? But it also is an adventure in missing the point. Because it's not about our work. It's not about us at all. Now, Jesus had prompted them this way, but they get it wrong, and so Jesus again tries to reset them, and then he gets to verse 29, which I think is one of the most important verses in Scripture. I think verse 29 is every bit as important as John 3:16, because it summarizes the gospel. In verse 29, Jesus says, "The work that God requires is this." No, he doesn't say the work that God requires, does he? He says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent." The work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent. Focus here, because this is really important. I think this is the whole key to this entire text and really to the whole gospel. We tend to read this, again, because of the way it got set up, is the work God requires is this, to believe. But that's not what it says. It says the work of God is this. What is God doing here? Yes, in response to what God is doing, we should believe. Yes, in response to what God is doing, we should work. But what is the work that God is doing? God is helping us believe. It's all about God. God is helping us believe. He's working so that you can believe. And we need to understand this, because if we don't, we put it all on us. And when we put it all on us, even if we don't put it on work, we just put it on belief, we can get some things dangerously wrong. We miss the whole point. Let me share a story that I think illustrates this. So part of my training as a pastor many years ago was I had to do something called clinical pastoral education. It's what YL, our pastoral intern, is doing right now. It's where you basically serve at a hospital as a chaplain intern. And I tell you, you grow a ton, you learn a ton, and in doing this, it's a very interesting experience. Well, I was doing this, and I got called in to intensive care where a middle-aged man had just passed away. And he was a believer, and his family and friends who were believers were all there. But his family and friends kind of came from a background where it was all about their faith. And so they, rather than starting to mourn with hope, starting to plan a celebration of the life God had given him and a witness to the resurrection that they knew he was going to have one day, they were just trying to summon up enough faith to raise him from the dead. And they weren't letting the staff deal with the body. Staff had no idea what to do, so they called the intern. What was I supposed to do in that moment? Well, I come alongside them, and initially, I pray with them. I pray, "God, raise this man. Do it right here and now. Not just the resurrection to come. Do it right now. Do a miracle right now so that people can believe. God, do this right now." And I prayed that for probably 15 minutes with them. And in the process, I earned the right to be heard. And eventually, I was able to say to them, "You know, maybe this isn't about our faith and our ability to convince God to raise Him from the dead. Maybe this is about our faith that to die is gain. And that God will one day, the right time, raise him from the dead." And it worked. Either that or they just realized they weren't going to come up with enough faith. And my prayer request coming out of this, though, was, "God, thank you that this worked in this moment. Thank you for giving me the wisdom about how to handle this, because I really had no clue. But but God, be with this family so they don't beat themselves up for not having enough faith to raise their loved one from the dead. Because they were putting all the pressure on themselves. I have to work. I have to have the faith. I have to do it. No! That's not the gospel. The gospel is it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus who comes. Jesus who gives us the faith. Jesus does it all. That's what this text is saying. God is working that we can have faith. I think the crowd actually understood that better than we do. The crowd is like, all right, Jesus. You say that the work of God is to give us faith. Do something that will give us faith. Give us a sign so that we can have faith that you're the one that we should believe in. Oh, and by the way, Jesus, what you did yesterday feeding all of us, that doesn't count. And it doesn't count because, you know what, we know the Messiah has to do something even greater than what Moses did. And what Moses did is he fed our ancestors manna, bread from heaven, for 40 years while they wandered around in the wilderness. They do not get the point. But Jesus, the work of God, is to help them get the point. And so Jesus gently corrects them. Jesus says, hey, Moses didn't give them the bread. My Father did. Oh, and by the way, that bread that they ate, they all still died. It's kind of like miracles, right? You get a miracle and somebody gets miraculously healed, they all still die. The bread was never the point. The bread was pointing to the point. And what I gave you yesterday was pointing to the point. And the point is that I am the bread of life. I'm what you need. I'm what you hunger for. I'm what you want. Now look at verse 32. Because this is important. Last half of verse 32. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Did you notice that? It's what God does. God does the work to help us believe, and God gives the bread from heaven. The crowd, again to their credit, seems to want to get it at least, and so they say, all right, well, give us this bread always. They're still fixated on their stomachs. And so Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I think it was perfect that you guys chose Isaiah 55 because the beginning of Isaiah 55 has that whole bit about come and you won't hunger or thirst anymore. That's where that whole text starts. And Jesus is saying this, I am the bread of life. I'm what you need. I'm what you want. And I was sent by God for you. We're not as... Back up. Remember, when Jesus says, I am, He's saying He's God. And when He says He's the bread of life, He's saying something about who He is as God. And He's saying that I'm what gives life. And I'm not just to the people of Israel. I give life to the world. Now, many of us today, for lots of different reasons, are not as bread-based as a culture as maybe the rest of the world and the rest of time. There's probably even a few gluten allergies out here. But bread is life. Think of bread as food. I'm the food of life. I, for one, enjoy a good bread. Every now and then I bake bread. I had this idea, and I couldn't pull it off, that I wanted to have a bunch of bread machines plugged in around this room so that you could all just smell the bread. Because it would help bring the point home, because that's Jesus. He's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Sourdough, rye, white, wheat, ciabatta. Bread. And when you eat you hunger no more. And when you don't eat bread, when you don't have enough food, what happens to you? You get lethargic. If you really don't have enough, you die. Some of you maybe have experienced something else that happens when you don't have enough to eat. What happens to you? You get hangry. And if that's the way you are without bread, what are you like without Jesus? Jesus is given for you. Do you want Him? The text has a mystery in it. The mystery is that God is working to give faith. God is giving signs that help increase faith. God is giving Jesus to explain the signs and His repeated teaching. And so many in the crowd still don't believe. God's doing all this stuff and they still don't believe. That can be so discouraging. It could have been so discouraging for Jesus. It can be so discouraging for pastors or for you when you go share the gospel and you share good news and they still don't get it. But look at how Jesus responds, because I think it tells us how we should respond. Those last few verses of our text. Jesus says, you still don't believe, but you know what? In faith, I believe that everyone the Father gives to me will come to me. And I'll never turn them away. Now notice something really important that Jesus said right there. Because Jesus up to this point has said, I'm given to you, and I'm giving you the faith to believe in me. But what does He say here? He's saying, you're given to me. Isn't that amazing? You've been given to Jesus. And if you'll just come to Him, as the text is, He will never turn you away. Which means He's going to welcome you with open arms. He wants you. That's who Jesus... I want you. And you know what else? Jesus says, I'm going to do the will of the One who sent me. And the will of the One who sent me is to raise all of you up on the last day, even though that means I'm going to die on a cross. Because remember what Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it is Your will, take this cup from me, but not Your will, but my, not my will, but Your will be done. And the Father's will was for Jesus to die that all of us could be saved. There's a lot of gospel in this text, isn't there? There's so much good news in here that it's all God, that Jesus was sent to save us, that Jesus gives us the reasons to believe, that Jesus explains why we should believe, and yet, in the midst of all of this, there's a chance for us to respond. And how do you respond? Because that's the second question we do in the series. How do you respond? You receive. You receive in faith. That's what you do. And then you work it out. So how do you receive in faith? Well, we have not because we ask not according to Scripture. So you receive in faith by simply asking for it. It's right there. Jesus, can I have it, please? Can I have You, please? Can I have You in my life? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. So friends, are you asking? Are you seeking? Are you knocking? Are you saying, Jesus, come into my life and be not just my guide, be my Lord. Tell me how it works. And then believe that by faith that He does come in. Are you saying, Jesus, give me faith to believe when everything seems so counter you in this world that you are still large and in charge and are coming again? Jesus, give me a sense of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, give me the fruit of your Spirit. Jesus, be with me now and always. Jesus, even when it's hard, help me to believe. Are you asking for that? Are you using the tools that God has already given you? We act like faith can be so hard sometimes. It's not hard. You just have to use what He's already given to you. You want faith? Pray. He's made a way for you to talk directly to God the Father Almighty. And if you will simply pray, you will increase your faith. You want to know Him more? Pick up your Bible. Read it. It's not that hard. I guarantee almost everyone in this room is literate. And by the way, if you're not, audible versions of the Bible are available. Just pick it up and read, and your faith will grow. He's already given it to you. Do you know how much God has done to give you the Bible? It's pretty remarkable. Come to church. It's really easy to get to church nowadays. The church will come to you. Most of you have a little computer in your pocket right now, and you can tune into church 24/7. There's something there for you. And when you do, your faith will grow. And there's more. Serve. When you serve, your faith grows. You don't do it to earn anything. You do it to grow. But friends, here's the good news. Jesus, the bread of life, has been given to you. The faith to believe in Him has been given to you. You have been given to Jesus. He receives you. Receive Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, help us not miss the point. Help us believe. You already have. Keep doing that. Help us understand who you are as the bread of life. And help us share you as the bread of life. To your glory. Amen.